Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 581. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy anniversary of the time that Tom Brady threw the Lombardi Trophy from one yacht to another.
Wait, how did you say that word?
Yacht.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
No, I know what you said, but it kind of sounded like a Boston accent comes out at the end when you say yacht.
Like a yacht?
Yeah. I mean, I am a New Englander. Occasionally, the New Englandness does show up.
That's why I was surprised. Okay.
I don't think it was at that point, though.
It sounded like it, but it could be my hearing. I am getting old.
It's because you're wicked smart, Earl. You could hear it.
Obviously, Earl is here.
I got no introduction because I ruined it with my cold open. So, yay!
Welcome to the Perfectly Sober Show. Earl has not been drinking. He swears.
I have not been drinking. I am starting to drink. I have not been drinking to this point. There are two different statements, so.
Jeff is here, too. Are you allowed to drink now, Jeff?
No one told me not to.
All right.
And I am drinking.
His doctor's like sent him a bunch of text messages and emails, and he's like, didn't get them, don't count.
They probably assume that, like, you don't want to, because you feel like that, you know? I mean, the first week, not really, but since then, yeah.
Right, it's like are you on pain meds still, or?
No.
Yeah, well, you're probably fine.
Unfortunately, those were pretty good.
All right, well, it's been, I mean, maybe not a busy week for games that we've been playing, but it has been there was an event, let's say that. Some stuff was announced.
Wait, just before we get to that, is Sifu out already, or is that coming out?
I think if you, like, pre-ordered it, or, like, it is out for some people and not others.
That's not a hobby playing it.
It is February 8th, so it is out officially now. I think you're right, though. If you like pre-ordered it or something, you got it like 3 or 4 days early.
It looks so cool, but it's like 1,000% not my type of game. But like, I like watching the fighting in it or whatever. It looks like a cool modern action movie.
Yeah, I mean, I like the art style, but hearing that it's just like brutally difficult, it's like,
oh, yeah, it's really fun, but yeah, I don't want to say I don't do difficult games, but I mean, that's not what I'm here for.
Not do it in that genre, I would not. You know what I mean? Like, it's just I don't like brawlers enough to begin with. You gonna go, here's one that's fucking super hard. I enjoy seeing the clips of it, but
right. So like even in something like Dark Souls or Sekiro, right? Like you can go back and like grind up levels. This sounds like it's kind of like an arcade game where, you know, you get your level up in the level. It's not persistent. Like your character is not, like when you start the game up again later, like your character is not as strong as
I need to be able to level up. I need to be able to summon people. I need help.
So Jeff is just like, I don't want to play the game myself. I need somebody to come do it for me.
That's why Elden Ring is his top game of most anticipated game, because he can play with other people and they can beat all the bosses
for him. Yeah, I wonder how that's going to go, though, because, you know, it's like this huge open world thing with like a bunch of mini dungeons all over. So it's like, how are you going to find someone? Like, if you get stuck on a boss in a mini dungeon, what are the odds you're going to be able to find a summon? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how the summons work, but I know your friends can just play with you, from what I understand.
Okay, then you guys get the game and fucking help me.
I think you need to help yourself.
I'll just attract the enemy to kill me, and you can like do damage to it while I'm dying.
Like in any of the Dark Souls game, there's like what 15, 20 bosses, whatever. But those are like the summon points. Like everyone knows that's where people want help, and you know when you do that across a huge open world game with, you know, who knows how many mini dungeons, like how much help am I going to be getting?
Right,
I might have to do it myself.
Yeah, I was actually kind of expecting to start hearing like early impressions of it, but it does not seem like it's out there yet.
Well, I thought previews dropped. I thought previews dropped today.
Did previews drop? Because I was listening to a podcast that came. I probably came out on Monday. I think is when the show came out, and they said they hadn't gotten a copy yet. So.
Yeah, you gotta get that. Like, they gotta get started right now if they want a review ready.
Yeah,
I mean, it is what it is. But I feel like that's one of those under. I mean, it's not important, I guess, for a lot of people. But it's one of those things that doesn't get talked about as much because of the pandemic. A lot of like previews and stuff are, like, you know, like because before you'd go to events and somebody would, you know, be there for 3 hours. So a lot of it tends to be like, I think what they call it is like end off. Which is like somebody paying, then you're watching a video and you report out on that.
Yeah.
So, and then, or either that or just getting like the final build of the actual game.
Yeah, and I believe that game's gold, so I'm kind of surprised that, like, I mean, granted, the podcast I was listening to, they don't do traditional reviews, so it's possible that they weren't going to get like an early copy, so.
I mean, it's going to be 10 out of 10, obviously. It doesn't matter.
So which podcast are you cheating on us with?
I was listening to the Waypoint Vice.
How is it cheating on us? I mean, it would be weird. Like, it would be weird for him to just listen to the Perfectly Sane Show and no other gaming podcast.
That's what I do.
Liar.
You are a liar. I can't listen to my own podcasts. I really can't.
Oh, no. I've never been able to listen to myself talk. It's. I mean, I can talk, but I can never listen to myself talk.
I mean, I've listened to the movie ones that we do a few times just to see how it turned out, like how it sounds to me, but like, it's still weird. I don't like hearing my own voice.
I think my voice sounds fantastic. It's incredibly
I
turns me on to listen to, so I like to go back sometime.
It's like, this was a great episode. I sound awesome.
Yeah, I don't have that experience.
I told that joke and everybody laughed. I got to hear it again. Because I can never tell one like that again.
Well, not anymore with PC culture.
You can't tell those jokes, Earls, and we're not allowed.
That's right.
Yeah, you'll be jailed.
Woke mob is ruined jokes for everyone.
That's what I heard. They're just going to jail everybody, Jeff.
I just love when people complain about that shit. It's like, dude, who told you can't tell a joke? I listen to shit all the time where they say completely inappropriate shit. No one tells them not to. Like, the people that, the comedians that complain about that, it's fucking lame, dude. Like, either do it or don't.
Yeah. Since, like, the beginning of comedy, there's always been people that don't like your jokes. Like, not every joke's going to be for everybody. So, them telling you about it, because they now, everyone now has a platform. Before, like, you know, they would hear your joke and they would go home and, you know, tell their neighbors, like, you know, this asshole said a bad joke.
Yeah,
now they say it on the internet and it gets back to you, but well, sorry.
See, the comedians need to log off Twitter is what that needs to happen.
Basically.
I mean, that's probably a rule of thumb for a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people should log off Twitter.
We all should log off Twitter.
It's a bad place.
This has gone on way too long.
Yeah. I was listening to the way I like to like read through what Waypoint's going to talk about and then kind of like skim through like, oh, you're talking about Pokemon. I want to listen to what, you know, they're saying about that or, so Nextlander, you guys like Nextlander is the group that splintered off from Giant Bomb. The guys that like left last year, they actually put hyperlinks in their podcast so you can like tap the, like they say like, hey, at this time we're talking about Pokemon, you can just tap it and it goes directly there. It's awesome. I'm not doing that for this. All right, Nintendo Direct, guys, that happened
directly to us.
I think they spoke directly to me and you, Earl. I don't know if they spoke directly to Jeff.
Kind of sounded like they did. I mean, I feel like Jeff heard some things.
Oh, he heard it.
I don't know if he enjoyed them, but he heard things.
Oh, the Nintendo Direct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, people are way too easy to please these days. I guess it hit like a niche. It hit like I could see like
a niche of video games.
I saw Earl was like so happy because like you know they were hitting certain games that I guess he wanted. I remember Earl saying like weeks ago that he wanted them to do Wii Sports again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they brought that back, but it's like, you know, all the announcements, cool, whatever. But I do think. You know, wherever you stand on it, I think that it was missing that one little extra thing. It's been a while since a direct, and I just felt like, you know, I was expecting something big at the end. I don't even remember what they said what their last thing was.
Xenoblade 3 was
there. Yeah,
and that's huge. That is a huge game. But it is a huge game. Like,
yeah. I played Part 2. I thought it was pretty good when I played it, but like... no desire to ever play one of those again. So I was just like, this is for somebody. It's just not hitting me.
Did you play 2 or did you play X, which is the Wii U one?
I guess.
I thought you had like a mech. I thought I remember like you had a mech.
Yeah. That's not 2?
No, that's like X.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck is 2?
It's on the Switch.
Oh, see, I checked out. I figured that was 2, because wasn't there one on the Wii?
There was.
It's a quote-unquote sub-series, but doesn't count because it's one game in itself. And there's a lot of people. But to your point, Jeffrey, for the person that is for me, that is for the person who has a collected edition of Xenoblade Chronicles X and Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I will get a collected edition of Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I will be there day 1, September 2020. I am Jack. Like I will say yes, it's a very specific niche, but it's a niche that works for me because it's like almost all of my favorite Nintendo franchises over here. You got that, Splatoon 3 had a highlight reel. I'm a huge fan of Mario Strikers. It's my favorite Mario sports game. I mean, it's not my favorite, but Mario Kart DLC is just a really interesting idea. I have the Portal collection. Because that's a game I've been looking to replay. And I don't think you can... I think you can play it on the Xbox Series 1 if you have the Orange Box or Portal 2. But I don't think there's any way to actually to play them natively on current systems.
There is... I believe there is a Portal... So they did a standalone Portal game called Portal Still Alive. I believe that is backwards compatible on 360. From the 360 to the Xbox One, but it's not a new version of it.
Yeah, I was surprised because a lot of these games, like a lot of these announcements, a lot of them are just like, oh yeah, it's still, what am I going to say? It's still, like they're multi-platforms. I just assumed this one was. As far as I can tell, I looked into it. This looks like this is exclusive to the Switch for now.
The Portal one?
Yeah. Cube or whatever it's called.
Is that a neat name for it? The Chrono Cross remaster is coming to everything. Some of the other Square stuff's coming to everything. If you like RPGs, it was a show for you.
Someone had a tweet that was like, it went viral. It was like, every Nintendo Direct, there's like some fucking remake of something I've never heard of in my life.
And then
people come out of the woodwork being like, oh my god, they brought back Flimby or whatever, you know, whatever the fuck. and like, that's kind of how I felt watching this one. I was like, Live Alive? What is this? I've never even fucking heard of this, dude.
I've never heard of it either.
They kind of explained, right? Like, it's like a SNES game. Octopath
before Octopath.
Yeah,
oh, so it was so funny because like we're bringing back a classic, and I'm watching this. I'm like, I don't know what this is, and then at the end they're like, for the first time in the States. I was like, oh, okay, well,
yeah. And if you are a JRPG fan from that era, like you knew about these games, it was just you never got to play them, or you played them by emulating them with like a patch that somebody did, like a fan translation or something. So that's cool. I mean. I don't know that game's going to cost. I'm not paying $60 for it, but...
Well, it's Square Enix, so it's always hard to say. But maybe I did not. I thought... Because a lot of the... I'm going to just say up front. I was surprised that Nintendo Switch Sports is actually $40, not a full $60 title because I'm just like Nintendo's going to charge $60.
I just assumed that was $60.
Yeah, that is where my barometer is, where it's like, oh, it's a discount. Oh, okay, so everybody ever is 50.
Okay, yeah, that's not a me. I mean, Square will eventually drop the price on that, so. Yeah, Switch Sports, Mario Kart, was it the Track Pass?
Booster
Pass, okay. And you get it if you have the NSO expansion.
Which I think is pretty big. What was I going to say?
It does make Mario Kart 8, like, pretty much like the Mario Kart greatest hits game.
Yeah. I mean, literally with this one, because it's...
It's all old tracks and...
Yeah.
That's cool, I guess. Like, it that is... Go ahead, John.
That was the biggest thing... That was the only thing, really, in the whole thing that I'm, like, excited about. And that's... I mean, I think it's cool, so I'm not trying to downplay it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, out of the whole Direct, that's the big thing. Like,
I thought it was really cool. I thought it was just funny, because they had, you know, just talked kind of about Mario Kart 9. They're going to try something new with the series. And then, like, you see the carts on the screen, and they're like, and we're bringing 7 billion tracks to Mario Kart 8.
I think I mentioned this to you last night. Like, one of the rumors floating around is that, like, the new Mario Kart, they were going to try to do, like, Smash Brothers. Like, just include everything that they've done. Yeah. And it looks like they're just kind of doing that, but they're just doing that with the existing Mario Kart.
Shoehorning it in.
Which I get. I don't care. It's not like, I'm not like, oh, they have to make the new one. I'm happy to be getting, like, anything to make this feel somewhat fresh again. Because I've been playing it since 2014.
Yep.
You know, that makes me happy. Like, granted, it'd be cool that if there were some actual new tracks in there, but, you know, whatever, dude.
Like, I mean, like, because they're going to be taking the tracks, right, from, like, all those other games, but they're going to update them. Yeah. Like, it's not just going to be, oh, we're dropping you into the Game Boy Color track. Like, they're going to make it so that it works within 8. So they're doing some work there.
And, I mean, how many of those tracks are you actually going to remember? Like, it's going to feel...
No, exactly. That's not... Exactly, dude. Yeah. Exactly. You know? And I like how they're, one, including it as part of the expansion pack, giving that some value. Two, doling them out, like, kind of throughout the summer. It's going to be cool. Like,
Well, in
2023.
Year. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
I think it's like, what's it?
It's six packs,
yes.
With 8 tracks apiece.
So, that's
and
cool.
And they said it's going to do the end of 20s. So, I'm assuming that, like, we'll get one probably like March, sometime in the summer, and sometime again, because, like, I mean, I think the thing, and we discussed this last week, is like Mario Kart is like just one of those games that continues to sell really well under the radar. So, like, they're basically just turning this into like a games as service with cards, where it's like, yeah, every few months we're going to have you come back and tell your friends about it.
It's going to get me and my friends playing it again. I mean, not that we ever stopped, but it's going to get us playing it again. It's going to get, you know, like my good friend down the street, I know all of a sudden he'll be like, I guess I'm getting the expansion pack. You know what I mean? Like, it'll sell that expansion pack to people, I think.
Yeah.
Because what's the difference? What, $25 on its own versus $30 for a year, the expansion? You know?
Oh, is that what the you know, the markup on it is? It's $30 extra.
The expansion pack? I think so, yeah.
It's I haven't bought the expansion more, isn't pack it? Yet, so.
It's $50.
Is it $50 more or $30 more?
I don't, because isn't it 70?
For the two of them, is it?
Well, I honestly don't. Man.
That's how bad I am with money. I don't fucking know. I thought it was 30 more on top of the 20.
I honestly don't know, remember. I will also say that it does not matter to me, because I'm on my friend's family plan. So it ends up being like $10 a year for me. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't do that.
Okay, so Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack is $49.99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then think of that.
The family membership, which allows you to split between 8
people, 70.
Is $80. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So the difference between the expansion pack and just buying the DLC outright is $5. So you might as well pay the $5 and get your fucking Majora's Mask and your, you know, Ocarina or whatever you're going to play with that. I don't know. I think it'd be stupid not to do it because there's going to be more things too with it.
Yeah, I mean, you hope that they release more N64 games, more Genesis games. You hope they add some stuff to it as well. But yeah, it's really cool. Like, if you're going games of service, that's one, there's a roadmap, you know what to expect, and that's a lot of content. Can't be angry about that one. Mario Strikers is Battle League.
Yep, Battle League.
I'm excited for that one. Earl, you're excited for that one. Jeff hates soccer, evidently.
He prefers it when it's called football. If it's called football, he's fine with it.
I played FIFA. I thought that was pretty fun, but not enough where I would ever buy it. I mean, I bought one way, way back in the day.
But I never hear you being like, oh, tennis is an awesome game. I want all these tennis games. But Mario Tennis comes out, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing with golf, but...
Golf? No. See, golf Jeff is one golf games. I like golf a lot. Like, I think golf games are amazing. Like,
I will say, like, it is not FIFA. It is definitely not FIFA.
No.
You're not going to get that.
I think I've played the GameCube one. I don't know. I don't think I ever owned it, but I think I played it. I don't know. Didn't grab me, I guess. I don't know.
It's one of those things where, you know, it is what it is, but that is very much like this was, like, this came out, I think the original came out in, I want to say 2025. I mean, well, 2005. And it was just like, it was just the peak. It was like, we played so much of it my junior and senior year of college. And it's just, I think it's an absolute gem of a game. Like I said, it's my favorite sports game. And I really do like tennis as well, but this is just on a whole nother level. And I think part of it at the time was that it's very different for the Mario characters, which is why nobody thought it was going to come back, because they give them personalities. They have attitude. That's kind of where you get, like, you know, the Luigi, you get the... What do you get? You get the Waluigi crotch grab, which is a thing that happens in the sentence I just said. But it's also like, you know, that's where they kind of, like, I want to say it's like one of the first real games that they did where, like, they didn't have to wear their traditional costumes. Like, they actually have uniforms and stuff like that. And I think Peach has like a, not a midriff, but, you know, she's not wearing a dress, which is what you usually see her in. And it's just, it's full of charm. It's so easy to pick up and play. It's chaotic. They showed it in the show a lot of times. Like, again, it's not necessarily what it is. Football, it is soccer, it is that sport. But, like, a lot of it is like ramming people into the electrified fence and, yeah, you know, using items. It is very brutal. It's a ton of fun. This fixes my problem from the Wii version, which was the Wii version. The Wii version 1 relied on motion controls, and I'm a fan of motion controls. It's one of the few games I don't make it in. And then you had like a super shot that you could end up scoring 5 goals at once, which I felt broke the balance of the game. Like, the super shot in this one and the original, you score 2 points if you get it, which is still breaking the game, but it's breaking it in a different way where it's not like, oh man, somebody scores 5 points with like 10 seconds left. Like, you really don't overcome that. They also seem to not, like, it's not like in the original, it was, how do I say this? In the original, I believe it was, you just charged up the meter and you got it off. So you just needed to clear the field. This one, it's like you have to pick up an orb. It's like you have to get like a special move, then you get to do it. Online play, which I will say one of the good things about this, and I guess they have to benefit NSO, is like it's nice to kind of see Nintendo games now that gets announced and like online isn't necessarily a question anymore. It just happens. You have uniforms and gear you can unlock. And I think the other thing they have is the Battle League, where it's like you can form a club with, I think, up to 20 people, kind of like an actual soccer club, and then you kind of have tournaments and matches against each other. Don't know what it actually means in hindsight and in general for what you do in the game, because I don't know if you'll get anything
But. So I didn't read too much into that. So is it you form, like, you get 20 friends or 20 people to join your club, and then you play amongst yourselves? Or is it more like you have 20, you have a club, and you play against other clubs, and any of the people that are part of the club can play together against another club? Okay, so it's all internal.
I could be completely wrong, because my understanding of football is very limited, but I think a club is essentially kind of a soccer version of a league.
No, the club is the team.
I don't know. Like I said, my understanding, but yes, it seems like you play among yourself, and then we'll see. But I am excited.
Either way, it should be fun.
And this is out in June.
Yeah, June 10th. So that covers tennis, golf, soccer. Now, do we get a baseball game next?
I was just to say, we have not had a. I don't think we've had a Sugar since. Was there a Sugar on the Wii?
The Wii was the last one.
Dude, do you guys remember on the GameCube, Nintendo was going to make a real baseball game?
Nintendo made a real baseball game.
What do you mean?
Published the Ken Griffey Jr. games.
Oh, they made those?
Because it was. Remember that was back. That was back when they owned the Mariners.
Do you guys remember this GameCube story? Like, it was like scheduled to come out, and I don't know what fell through. But yeah, I forget the name of it.
It was like an MLB game, or
yes, oh. Like a real, like, it was like All-Star Baseball or something they were gonna call it. And like there was a cover art and everything, and then somehow it fell through. But yeah, it was going to be. I don't know 100% if it was developed internally by Nintendo or one of their second party developers or whatever, but they were publishing it and it was going to happen and did not.
Huh.
I was going to say, it's kind of, I mean, not the same thing, but yeah, like, they stopped publishing a lot of those, like, they, because they used to make a basketball game too, and they stopped doing that after the, I think the last Courtside was on the GameCube.
That was them?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
And then you look at it, it's so weird in hindsight, because I think they also had, I think Kobe Bryant was their cover athlete for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, again, like, you think, like, there's a lot of, like, that's an avenue that they've really kind of abandoned, like, stuff like that, and Wave Race, and the 1080. Like, they don't really do sports. Well, I mean, they do, but they don't do that type of sports game anymore. Yeah. Which, on the same note, we did get we got Nintendo Switch Sports, because I don't know why they abandoned the Wii name, but whatever.
They should have called it Wii Sports T or whatever. Or I guess it would be
more Wii Sports.
It would be four.
Yeah, you're right. There was one. Wait, four.
There was Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, you're right.
And then there's the
Wii Sports
Club.
Yes, there we go. I cannot think of what it was called, which was basically Wii Sports with online play. But that was. So yeah, I mean, this one looks really nice. It adds. I mean, I honestly, it's like, I don't really, like, I get it, but I was just like, it's really funny that it has, what does it have?
Soccer, volleyball, bowling.
Badminton, and tennis. The
platform game where you have to, like, push someone off the platform.
Well, the sword fighting one, yeah. Which is, I don't think, anybody's favorite.
No, it's dumb.
I don't know. I want to play that soccer game. Which it just looks like Rocket League, but with Miis. It looks so absurd. That volleyball thing. What was that, Jeff?
I'm not excited for it, but I do think that they should continue the Wii Sports line, so I'm glad that they did, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even, again, I think the worst on Wii Sports is still 30-some-odd million in that. I mean, we don't have numbers for club, So it's like, yeah, it makes sense from a business standpoint. And again, I think it's just really fun. If it was up to me, I would have had it healthy during a pandemic. You know, with online faith, something that people could have done and played together. But yeah, it is what it is. I'm excited. Like, it's online play. They already announced they're going to have an update with golf coming in the fall, stuff like that. So yeah,
and if you if you want to get a test of the online play next weekend, right?
Yes, for 45 minutes on 3 days. It's really weird.
Wait, but explain this to me. 45 minutes over 3 days? What?
They're basically doing a stress test. It's next weekend. And it's like, I mean, and that kind of what you want from a stress test is you want to make sure it's a certain time. But like, it's like 45 minutes on, I think it's Friday, and it's two Saturday and Sunday, and it's like 45 minutes. And I mean, it makes sense, again, stress test. So you can't play with friends, you just play with randos. But it is a good way to kind of get a feel for the game. It's out in April.
End of April, yeah.
And it's $40, like I said, which is also surprising for them. I mean, again, sometimes, as much as I love them, I do know that the barometer for Nintendo is very low, where it's like, oh, this game isn't a complete ripoff. That's a discount. so. And this is saying, so, as somebody who would probably have bought it for $60, it's a much easier sell at 40, I think, especially being that I think it's a game that, like, you kind of want the, you know, like, the Wii Sports audience is probably not the people who are going to shout $60 on multiple games. So you kind of want to make sure that they can afford it and you have that user base. So, yes, I'm excited for that. What else is there? The one that I think pissed off a lot of people. It started off with Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hope, which is a Fire Emblem game that's tied into Three Houses. And I assume after, because Fire Emblem Three Houses came out in 2019, I want to say. So I think after 3 years, everybody was not wanting a Musou spinoff, except for me, apparently. So I'm stoked for that.
I mean, that seems to be a series that adapts to that. I know it's a strategy series, but because everyone uses swords and stuff, like, a Musou game probably works really well for it.
I mean, honestly speaking, it is very much a Musou game, like you said, just strategy-based, because, yeah, you have, like, a very swords, arrows, lances, a lot of classes that already existed in Musou. I think I enjoyed the original. My problem with the original was more that, and I assume this will do the same thing, is that it does, it also takes in the triangle effect, which means that, like, certain elements won't, certain elements won't, like an end speed sword, so you don't want that person in that area. So it does add an element of strategy when you're already stressed out about stuff that's going on. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited. I just finished Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity today before we start this podcast. And I enjoy Musous. They're giant beat 'em ups. They are, I don't have to think. I will just fight stuff games. And I'm cool with that.
Fun. Klonoa, I guess they're bringing two of those games back. That's coming to everything.
Woohoo, I've never heard of it.
Is it like a 2.5D platformer, Jeff? Like a side scroller type thing.
Yeah.
Jeff hasn't heard of it either.
No, he was the one that told me about it.
I think Jeff has just left this. He's just disgruntled with Nintendo.
He's just so mad. Where's his Metroid? Where's his Zelda? How can you do this, Jeff?
They probably update. We'll talk Metroid if Jeff comes back, because that was funny how that played out. I will play that Klonoa game provided it's, you know, reasonably priced. Same with the Chrono Cross remaster or whatever. I thought it was a Chrono decent Cross show.
Okay, I was gonna say Chrono Cross is $20.
Yeah,
that's positive. Fine. Yeah.
Kirby looks good.
Kirby looks really good.
Yes, give me some Kirby.
I never get excited for Kirby, but I'm actually kind of excited for this one because it just I don't know if they've done a 3D one.
Done a 3D one. Yeah. The only 3D, it's Mario and Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong hasn't been since the N64.
And it looks like, they're doing kind of the Odyssey thing. I mean, Kirby always, steals people's powers or whatever, but, the trailer they showed off here was, him basically turning into the things that he was absorbing. It was fucking great.
I'm also curious if, somebody at Nintendo must be having an app with, having, mouthful mode?
Oh, yeah, mode. Jesus.
It looks so good, though. It just looks really colorful and just fun. Like,
yeah.
It's no Elden Ring, but it's the game I'm looking forward to on Switch right now.
I can't imagine that it's Elden Ring.
Elden Ring is I'm counting the fucking days. Let's go, man. Fucking launch. Want to play?
Soon, right? 2 weeks?
Yeah. I get a week with it before I have to go back to work.
Okay. So, and this is not a major announcement. This is the one I was just most curious about. No Man's Sky on the Switch. I understand, that game does not that it doesn't run great, but it's not the best game on current systems.
I can't believe people still play that.
I mean, it is not the same game that launched 5 years ago.
Yeah, and all I have really are my memories of that original game.
Yeah,
but still
bare bones. Like they've added a lot. There's all sorts of base building now. There's there's giant capital ships you can have, and I still don't think that it's for me. But people do like those big open world exploration games, crafting games.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I won't be getting it on the Switch.
No, but good. If they can get it to run well, then good for people that want to play that. What didn't look like it runs very well is MLB The Show 22.
I am shocked. Surprised.
I thought it looked fine for
the. Notice, yeah, I didn't notice anything.
Well, no, I know that it's not up to snuff. You can see there's some of the background images and stuff like that, where it was clear this is not doing anything. But I was I think for the audience that
the audience that would buy it on the Switch, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're comparing it to, what you played on the Series X or the PlayStation 5 last year, we knew it wasn't going to be that. But wow, I was that looks like a PlayStation 2 game. It does not, obviously, because you go put a PlayStation 2 game in, you'd be like, oh yeah, this is much better. But
yes, it was. I'm I'm not even a graphic person. I'm I can tell that this is not. This is if this was the version, if I only had a Switch and it was into baseball, maybe. But if you're trying to build an audience, this is you don't have a Switch if it's if you want graphics first. That's always going to be the case.
Yeah. And Jeff, did you try out the Metroid Dread update?
I did. I have.
Liar.
No, I have. I'm little past the first boss. So, maybe an hour and a half in.
Is it a little bit easier? Is it rookie mode?
Yeah. So, all the rookie mode does is you pick up the little purple health pickups that enemies will drop, give you a little bit more, and then the bosses do less damage. So, the regular enemies running through the level I think still do the same amount of damage, but when you kill them, they're often dropping purple pellets for you. So, yeah, it's probably a little easier. I wonder how that plays out as you get deeper in the game and some of the regular quote-unquote enemies are, like, basically bosses. Because, you know, like, I don't know. But
maybe yeah. by, like, I mean, it's called rookie mode, right? So maybe by then, like, and with the extra health, maybe you've built up your skills enough that you're able to take some of them out.
I don't know.
Might still be difficult, but.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's called rookie mode, but I don't think it will be a total cakewalk.
Well, I don't think it's supposed to be a cakewalk. Like, it's more to help people, like, get frustrated when, like, somebody's, like, beating the crap out of you.
Yeah, I just wonder how that plays out. Because, like, again, I'm, like, in the first 2 hours, which were not hard to me on normal. Now, the first boss, I did die on once, so this is on rookie mode, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'd say so far it's probably a little easier, which is allowing me to focus a little bit more on how much I just don't think it's a very good game. And, like, those things are not going to be fixed by difficulty settings. So, I don't know. I'll probably play through it, though.
All right.
I really want to like the game. It's Metroid, but I just think that... I think I've said this before. I just think Mercury Steam is not a very good developer. I don't know. They're, like, so intent on making a certain type of game, and they'll just apply it to Castlevania, to Metroid, and it's just, like, that's not... I don't know.
Did you not like their Castlevania game?
I did back in the day. Yeah. But, you know, you look at that, and they kind of... It's, like, the same formula that they did here. It's, like, they're obsessed with parrying, like... And, like, you know, doing, like, cinematic angles while you're fighting a boss. It's like, hey, man, how about make the fucking... Just make the game good. Like, I don't know, like, come up with cooler level design and, like, cool pickups that help you... Like, cool, like, upgrades that help you explore.
As opposed to trying to make it look pretty.
Look cool, and, like, they're just obsessed with parrying and like doing the cool angles when you're fighting the bosses, and it's just, I don't know, like, it just seems to me that they're, like, intent on making one type of game and that's it, and it's not you know, I thought it was pretty cool the first time I played it with Castlevania, right? But I don't know, I think they're a developer who's, like, shown their limitations.
I do want to see somebody try out that dread mode.
It's not going to be anybody here.
Oh, by the way.
No. I want to see somebody that, like, was already good at the game, like, and was playing it on hard, just, like, because that's basically, like, you can't get hit.
By the way, I could not play the dread mode because I'm assuming because you have to have had the game beat, and I stopped at the final boss. So when I did the update and I booted the game up, it just said rookie mode is now available. And then when you go to start, it just lets you do, like, normal or rookie. Like, there was no option for me to do dread.
Which also makes sense. I mean,
it should only be for people that have really mastered the game anyways.
Yeah. Like,
when I first saw that, like, I really wonder if someone, like, I know Javi has played a lot of this game. And he's good at it. And I wonder if even he would be interested.
He's like, not.
No.
Not unless, like, you get something, like, for doing it.
You need a little bit of cushion. Like, it's a very hard game. And so it's gonna, like, go, oh, you get hit once and that's it. Like, okay, well, why would I want to do that? That's not fun.
But is it game over, or is it that you just, like, it's like you then have to go and get another, like, the next save point?
I think it's just one hit death. It's
not a roguelike. Okay. Like, it doesn't make it a one run game, but yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, I could see people doing that.
It's just a game, though, that there's no margin of error.
Already. But I mean, I'm sure there are people now who play it and it's like they don't get hit.
Yeah, I'm sure people are probably going through hard mode, and like they're just amazing at the game. They're going through hard mode and playing it with minimal damage, if any damage. Like
it's just so fat. Like I don't know how someone could be so good at this game because the controls are fucking whacked out, dude. Like it's like it almost feels like it contorts your hands at points where it's just like hold this bumper to aim, and then hold this bumper to bring up rockets. Then hold down this button to charge up this. It's like, dude, these controls are fucking stupid. Like, they feel good after a while, like after you get used to it. But man, it's so much shit that you have to keep into your head. I don't know. Like, I would never want to do a harder run of this game.
it's not a game that you can like put down and you know, you were two levels in. You're on the next biome or whatever, the third biome. Yeah. Like you're not coming back to that and knowing how to play this game.
I had to. You know, I keep accidentally using the right bumper when I should use the left bumper because you have to use them both throughout. It's really weird too is that they don't let you. I guess because of the manual aiming, they don't let you use the D-pad to run around. And the D-pad does essentially nothing. It's just like... It just feels weird to play a 2D game like that and not have the D-pad option.
Yeah, it seems odd.
Here's what the D-pad does. If you press right on the D-pad, it makes the mini-map a little bigger. That's all they use the D-pad for.
Well, what would you want the D-pad for, I guess?
Movement. To move! I like 2D games. I tend to play with the D-pad more than the stick.
No, I get that. I was just like, I feel like, because of home mobility, I think they wanted you to be able to.
Yeah, and like we would probably play it on like a pro controller, Jeff, off the TV. Yeah. The Switch D-pad by itself is garbage.
I have no problem with the D-pad on Switch. I don't know. I guess I'm weird.
Well, we knew that already.
I think that there was a pause, but I'm going to disagree.
First off, it's not even like really a D-pad. It's just four buttons.
Four buttons, yeah.
Which works fine for me. There's no, you know what you're doing.
Did they show Shredder's Revenge again? Did I miss that?
They didn't show it at the Direct, but they showed that today. Because PlayStation had, I don't know what you would call it, but they had like they basically were doing like I think 6 or 7 indie announcements over the course of this morning, and Shredder's Revenge is one of them where they showed off that Master Splinter will be in the game. You know what they did not show off? A goddamn release date. This game, it is 11 months to the day since they announced it, and they told me it was coming soon. And you know what?
Like the development time for a game like that. It should be like maybe a year, right? Like if that, like maybe 6 months.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say like what the time should have been. What I will say is that like, and I get it, the pandemic is the pandemic, but I feel like that's the thing. Like, you didn't have to announce it when you did if it wasn't coming out last year.
Or you could have like, announced it but not said coming soon.
But I mean, even that, I still don't think you needed to announce it,
right?
Like, yeah, that's not the type. That's not the type of game you need. Multiple. It's a. I mean, I hate to sound very snobby. It is a downloadable beat 'em up. It is not a AAA affair.
That's what I'm saying too. It's like the development time on a game like that is not multiple years. It's not. Like,
no.
You know. So like, I'm not saying anything bad about the game. It looks cool to me. And what cracks me up. Well, one, if you like read the tweet that went along with the trailer, it's just like coming later this year, and it's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, when? Two, the trailer shows like every level in the game. Like, it looks like a completely done game.
Yeah.
It's not like a 30-second teaser trailer just throwing off a level or two. Like, you know, like here's another character that we've added, and here's him playing through every level in the game. Coming later this year.
Yeah, and, I mean, maybe there will be more. Right now, there's, what, 6 playable characters? It can't be that's what's taking it so long.
So,
I don't know.
What is it? Is it the four turtles, Splinter, and April?
Yeah. Yes. I assume Casey Jones will be there. I can imagine because of the developer that like you'll unlock like being able to fight a Shredder and Bebop or Rocksteady at some point, but even then, yeah, it is. I don't know. Yep. I just don't know.
Give it to me.
Yeah, that's all I want. I've given my life over to this game already. I have several friends on the hook to play with me. I'm like, yeah, I'm just here to get this game and be happy about it. I don't need anything else. But they are just taking their sweet time with getting it to me. So taking their sweet time.
All right. Well, that was what I think we had in news. Tony, you play anything this week?
Obviously the required quotient of NBA 2K. But I did start messing around with Crusader Kings 3 had an expansion come out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Which added basically a throne room to running your little medieval empires. So before it was just like this kind of spreadsheety thing where you could see like people's stats and whatever. Now it's literally like you go into a room and can see all the people who are in your court. And like you have your advisors standing next to you and you can click on them and interact with them. You have like the knights of your kingdom, like around the room, the people you don't like, the people you don't like, who you can now see in like fully fleshed forms. It's interesting. They added like, to the actual Crusader Kings 3 game, they have like fully formed characters, and now they're just kind of like walking around in a room, and you can, you know, decorate the room with stuff that you acquire. I haven't gotten very far with it. I definitely need to mess with it more, but it looks pretty interesting right now.
You think they added that stuff in because it's coming to consoles?
Oh yeah.
Maybe having a more graphical interface as opposed to the spreadsheety one is.
It's much easier to interact with. Definitely, you can also like hold court now, which, you know, has people coming to you with their problems, and you get to solve those problems. It's kind of like expanding upon the RPG elements of the game as opposed to the moving armies around on a map elements.
Nice.
So.
Who on your account is playing Nobody Saves the World?
Okay, that is my son. He has actually gotten all the way through to the end now. Like, he's unlocked all of the forms. So he's playing it pretty obsessively.
So I was like, oh, Tony, listen to Earl, and he popped that in.
He makes it look hard. It kind of seems like he dies a lot. So I don't I don't know if it is hard, but he makes it look hard. So I don't know.
Earl, you play anything this week?
I play someone. Nobody Saves the World.
Is he dying on purpose, or is he?
I mean, so far I don't find it that difficult, but I'm also playing it in co-op, so it might be that too.
Oh yeah, but he's not playing in co-op.
Because yeah, I mean, it's a dungeon crawler, and you are, you know, like, you're trying to level up these things. And, like, you know, they do introduce, I think now they've introduced, like, what would you call it? Like, elemental advantages. Like, there will be some enemies that it's, like, you can only attack them with, like, a poison attack or a blunt attack or something like that. So you also need to make sure you have access to those characters and you're changing them out. And then you can get into a situation where you're just being bombarded by a bunch of different ones. So you have to know how to navigate that properly. And again, like, some, you know, some characters work better than others, like, for either navigating small spaces or clearing out crowds. Like, you know, it's a game, so the brute does a lot more area of effect damage, so it's always good to kind of have one of those around. What else? Yeah, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a, what am I trying to say? I think it's a really good take on that genre. It's really fun and different than what we've had before. And I'm curious to play more of it. And I like how you unlock characters by basically, like, you have to level up different characters, and then there's certain ones where it's like, you have to level up two of them, and then these two characters will give you this thing. And, like, you have some strange ones. Like, I unlocked a magician who attacks by losing playing cards. And if not playing cards, like, you can knock a bunny out of their hat. So that's a really cute one. So yeah, it's worth the price. And Pokemon still remains, I still think, really good. There's no but to that. I just think
okay, really, yeah, really you good. You were leading me up. I was like, I just bought that, Earl. Don't give me a but.
Sucks. I hate it now.
And Jeff, you finished Pokemon, right?
I did.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. What? Oh man, what was I gonna say? Because I think it's just I mean, there was a minor update today or this week, because, like, not that they were broken, but there were certain side quests that were harder to do because the chance of getting certain Pokemon wasn't as high as it could have been. Like, there's one early on where it's like, basically the only way to find these Pokemon are in the trees, and they did not do that thing well. But I think they changed the RNG for it to come up more often. Or if you do get it, it doesn't run away as much. So, yeah. And then, I guess, I don't know. There's just so much to say about the game. I think it's so good. So very good.
Nice.
I can't wait to hear your impressions of it.
Yep. I just need to put it into the Switch. It's sitting right there next to it right now. So.
Good.
Did you buy it on discount? Because I think it was like $50 this week, or am I?
It was somewhere.
I got it. It was $55 on Amazon. I don't know if it was cheaper somewhere else, but
I think GameStop had it for $50. It was also Target's buy two get one free sale week. Mm. Which reminds me, I need to finish purchasing.
Too much work.
But yep, I have it here to play, and I will try Nobody Saves the World because evidently,
really good.
Yeah. What was that?
I was surprised to get a two kind of under the radar Game of the Year contenders for me right off the bat this year.
Yeah.
And then we got a bunch of them lined up already now, so it's gonna be a good year, I hope.
I hope so. It's we're starting off strong, which could be really great for the year, or it could mean like it's just front loaded.
One, we got Elden Ring. If we get Breath of the Wild 2, that's a good year. In my book, that's like a really good year.
That's a good Jeff year.
Yeah.
For the rest of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting Mario Strikers and Switch Sports. We're good.
In Total War Warhammer 3 comes out next week.
Next week is kind of loaded, isn't it? Like,
not only is that, but we also have the main event of the year, the first one, the Uncharted movie drops.
Yeah.
I am so very fascinated to see reviews for that game.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it.
Notice how he said Gabe?
He did.
I meant movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it. I will use my sub and go to the theater and watch it. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to be very good, but
I don't know. Yeah, probably not.
And Tony Horizon, I believe, is next week as well.
Yes.
Yes. And the next week is loaded.
Yeah, dude. Some big games this year.
Oh no, that's what I was saying though, Jeff. Like, it's very front loaded. Like,
look, Zelda in the back half of any year, like a 3D Zelda, is huge. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean,
I guess I'm pinning too many hopes on that actually happening.
Well,
they'll have something.
That in its one game, like, I think for us, what we're saying is like, yeah, because I mean, every year has some game. I think
that's like a 100-hour
easy. Yeah, but if you're not a Zelda fan, like this, I think what we're saying is like this year right now on paper, there's a lot of good, there's a lot of good different games in the first half. Like you said, Elden Ring, you know, if you're not into Elden Ring, you have Horizon. If you're not into Horizon, you got Kirby, you know, We have, I mean, I assume God of War is this year.
Maybe.
Maybe, hopefully. Who knows? Who really knows?
I mean, I don't think Sony can do, I don't think they can, like, release two big games like they did early in the year, like last year, and then not have anything for the holiday. God of War has to be there.
It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be for the holidays, but...
No, but yeah. like in the, you know, fall around there, like it, I would think it has to be in that back half of the year.
Next February, yeah. Book it.
it's that's probably not a bad bet. and we don't, like, honestly, we don't know what Microsoft has coming outside of Starfield, if that comes. Yeah, I mean, it could be a great year. Could also be very empty in the back half, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it would be hard-pressed, but yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, you've played everything, so we'll get to you last. But we both played an Atari Recharged game this week.
Yeah, different series. Different ones. Yeah.
I picked up Breakout, which just came out last night. And I've put like 2 hours into it. I'm really enjoying it. The reviews are terrible for it.
last night I'm fucking scrolling through the shop as I do every fucking day because I had nothing to do right now. I saw that was out. I was like, oh yeah, that series of games. And oh yeah, you know, I like Breakout. Like, I always play that when I see that in our arcade. Well, actually, I always play Arkanoid, which is kind of the same thing.
It's the same concept, yeah.
Yeah. But then I was like, oh, let's see a review of it. You know, $10 for this simple arcade. And every review was like, well, Breakout is not very compelling to begin with, so there's not much you can do with it. And, you know, it's kind of like the gist I got from the reviews.
Yeah, like every review is like, well, Breakout's just a really simple game. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, an arcade game. Isn't that like every one of these Recharge games, there's not much to them.
Like, I mean... Sure, like Asteroids is a, like, because you're flying around your ship, but Centipede is really like you're just at the bottom, just killing centipedes. Black Widow, the one you played, probably has like the most complex gameplay because it's a twin stick shooter.
Yeah.
And Missile Command is literally point and click. Like, it is.
Missile Command, though, is a much cheaper game than the others. I think that's like $3. But I'm just not interested in Missile Command enough. Did you get that one too?
I got it on Steam. I played it. Yeah. Like, and you have, like, it's on mobile, so you could, like, play it on your phone. It's on Switch. You have to play it in, like, you have to use the touchpad. Like, you have to play it on your screen. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Because it is. That Missile Command is, you know, it's point and shoot, right? So, like, you're picking your spots where you want it to shoot to. So you're, like, dropping, like, all right, I want to shoot here, I want to shoot here, shoot here. There's no tactile feel to it. It's like, you don't actually get a choice of which cannon shoots. Like, it's a very simplistic game. But, yeah, they're all, like, these are all, like, early 1980s, late 70s, early 1980s arcade games. Like, they're not complex.
Primitive, dude. Like, very primitive, you know, games. But if you like arcade style games, these are fun high score games, I think. I don't know.
And now, I haven't played Black Widow, but Centipede and Breakout both have challenge mode.
Yeah.
Black Widow has that too. And
yeah, I know Asteroids has it. So, I haven't checked it out yet because I'm just so into the core arcade game.
Yeah, the arcade game. But I think challenge mode is, like, really fun, and it gives you, like, it's... The reviews I read were, like, didn't even mention it. It's like, all they played was the arcade mode. It's like, weird. Like, there's so much more to this game. Like, you're saying it's not worth $10, and it's like, there's a whole challenge mode that is... It's like 40 different levels that are difficult. Like, they are not easy. Because the game is simplistic, so, like, these challenges they've set up are absurd. Like, it's like, clear all the blocks, and the blocks are slowly coming down.
Oh, my God.
So you have to get them before they get to the bottom. And when the ball is at the bottom, they come down faster. So like, that's just one of the challenges. Like, other ones are like, take out the trap blocks or whatever, like get X amount of them. Like, there's the like, cool different challenges, and I'm having a blast with it. I think it's great. I think if you like Breakout, it's a very good version of it.
That's kind of where I was coming from with it. Like, I was just like, anytime I see Arkanoid in arcade, I put a quarter in or whatever. Because, like, the only thing that's weird, though, is, like, that game really does benefit from the arcade controls because it's usually, like, a dial.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't – there's no way to really replicate that well on a console.
No, so. And it is – it can sometimes be a little too squirmy. Like, you just overshoot yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten it down pretty well now. But, yeah, when you're first playing, like, you're going to be like, God damn it, missed. Like, that's any old arcade game, like, until you kind of get the feel of it.
Yeah. This series really fascinates me because I'm like, one, I didn't know about it until you mentioned Centipede Recharged, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what is this? And then, like, last night I kind of did the deep dive on YouTube about, like, what is the series? And it's just neat that they're, like, bringing all these back. And I have to think maybe it's something to do with the VCS.
It like, is, yeah. They did. The VCS has these versions on them. The VCS has different – they have, like, additional challenges, different modes. So, like,
it's so neat. Like,
yeah.
Like, and the VCS is something I didn't know a ton about, and I read up on that, too, the other day. I'm like, one, that's a total blunder. Like,
yes.
How are you going to – it's, like, a neat idea, but that, like, that would be a neat idea for, like, $100. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not
whatever the fuck they're charging.
I think it's $300 or $400.
You could get a Switch. Like, you know, yeah. or that's insane, but it's a neat system that they should really reconsider the price on.
Well, it's the hardware inside. Like, it is powerful enough that it will run Windows. Like, it is a PC.
Yeah, in there. Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy that's what.
I don't know. It's fascinating. Like, I'm fascinated by the VCS, and I'm fascinated that this series has kind of come out of that. I think that the games are like, you know, $10 seems a little much for what these are. I don't know. Like, but also $10 is like the low end price point for anything, so I guess not too bad. But it really is like, I guess I haven't digged into the challenge mode and the one I bought yet. And I'm just doing the core arcade game, which is probably the thing that most people will play the most in any of these, right? And the core arcade experience is like it's a fun high score experience, but as far as I understand, in all of them, it's like a one life thing. So it's like, it's a run to see how long you could live, and that's it. Like, you know, and it is pulling me back. Like, it is like, I'm just like, fuck. I can't believe I just got fucked over and died. All right, one more. All right, one more.
Yeah. I kept doing that. I got stuck doing that right before here. I was like, all right, I'm just going to try this one more time.
Yeah,
there's still 3 minutes left before the show. All right, I could do one more.
I literally did the same thing. It was like 8:57 here, and I'm like, well, I never last 3 minutes anyways. That's what she said. And
I'm like,
and
yeah,
of course I didn't.
Because you know that joke was coming. You
yeah.
Yeah, that joke was coming.
In fact, I think there is an achievement in Black Widow for lasting 3 minutes, which I have not gotten yet.
Yeah, there's one in Breakout for surviving 300 seconds. So what's that, five minutes?
One of the reasons I got it, these games would be perfect on the Switch, and maybe when they go on sale on Switch, I'll get them there. But I'm like, this is cool. These are cool games to like, rack up achievements on for the Xbox. So I got it on Xbox. Plus, apparently optimized for Series X.
Yeah, and also the reviews I was reading all seemed to be Switch reviews. And
yeah,
they were
weird.
Complaining about that there was some slowdown in some of the particle effects. So I don't know if it's not optimized well on the Switch. I do think like these are great games for that, but if they don't run well, that's
so weird.
That's
you would
not
think
great.
They would. They run well if the one I've played plays fine on Xbox.
But Centipede ran great and Breakout's running great. So
Are you familiar with Black Widow? Because I wasn't.
No, I never heard of it until then. So that's like why it's like the last one I haven't gotten yet.
It's really addictive. It's you know, think Geometry Wars, but you're a spider, and the playfield is like a spider's web. So like the difference here is like the center of the spider's web you can't pass through, and because of that you're kind of always just kind of going in a circle around the playfield. You know what I mean? That's kind of it. There's like, you know, some of the enemies when you kill them they'll drop a power up and you'll get different power ups. There's a meter that fills up and you could once that fills up you could shoot out a wide like, you know, huge web that kills everything in its path. And that's it. You're just trying to kill as many things as possible, pick up the dollar signs that you drop because they add to your power meter and they add money, like they add points to your high score. That's all you're trying to do.
Are there power ups? Like do you get power ups or stuff? Okay.
So like yeah, if a pink bug comes across your screen, you kill it, it drops, you know, sometimes a spread shot, sometimes rapid shot, and you get those power ups. They last, you know, maybe 30 seconds, but they help you kill a whole bunch of shit. That's it. There's not a whole lot. I have not tried the challenge mode, but the core mode is just that. And it's a strong hook. Like it like, you know, it plays very well. Like the control on the twin sticks, like, it just feels totally right. Like the weight of your movement and everything feels totally right. It looks cool. Like I like it's the same aesthetic as all of these games with kind of like that neon wireframe thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got cool music, which I think is another thing that all these games probably have.
Yeah, they're all done by the same composer.
And it's just like it looks. I think I said it to you guys earlier. Like it just like looks cool. It's kind of got like a Halloween-y, like you know horror vibe to it. I totally like. I never even heard of Black Widow before this, but this is it's a really fun twin stick shooter in the same vein as Geometry Wars.
If you like the music from the games, the entire Atari Recharge soundtrack is out there somewhere.
Maybe I have to get last longer than 3 minutes. It's always kind of like the one same song, but it's pretty good. And like it evolves as you get further. So I wonder, mm-hmm. If you live 6 minutes, if the music's completely different, if it keeps like evolving more. But Black Widow's a recommend for sure. Like I know you would like it.
I think I'll be probably, getting that one.
Be getting Breakout and Centipede as well.
I'm almost done all the achievements. I'm almost done all the achievements in Breakout. So.
Already, yeah. I'm pretty good on on Black Widow, there's an achievement for getting a 2,000-point high score. There's one for 4,000 points, and then there's one for 6,000 points, and I've topped out right now at 4,300 points. So I got 2 out of 3 high score achievements. And it sucks, man. Like, just when you die, you're like, fuck, this, like, it's just because some fucking bug creeps up behind you.
Yep. Yeah, that was how it was with Centipede. I was like, I wasn't hitting the final one. I was like coming close, but I wasn't
like, quite I know, getting
it, and I finally did.
What I love about these, it's kind of like pinball to me. It's like, even if you're not good at pinball, if you play it enough, you're going to have that one run,
yep.
You know what I mean? Where you just like go way over the top of anything you've done before. But right now I'm really stuck at, like I was at like, you know, 4,300 and I topped that earlier tonight with 5 points extra. I was like, God damn it. I'm like, I'm hitting a wall on this where I just fuck up at the same point every time. And, but you know, it's going to happen one time where you just have that good run where you last for fucking 6 minutes or whatever and... Yeah. And it'll be game over for me because I'll never top it.
I'm assuming the achievements are all pretty much like set up the same way, like you know, high scores,
basic.
And,
yeah.
And then like kill like X amount of pink bugs, or whatever you got. Yep. So yeah, it's like you know, that's like there's a reason to keep playing it because you'll eventually like, those ones you will eventually get. You'll eventually kill all those pink bugs.
In fact, I think I've swept up a lot of those today. I think I'm like you. You said you're almost done with the breakout achievements.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing with Black Widow. Like one of the achievements is kill 2,000 bugs. So I got that tonight as I was playing it. You know, and that's after, what, an hour or two of play. Like, so good games for the achievements too, but.
Yeah, the only thing is, I think it's local co-op, is that there is like co-op achievements tied to it. Not many. There's like one or two in each game. But they'd be hard to get if you can't get somebody that's competent.
There's one for Black Widow. It seems pretty easy. I saw that last night. I'm like, I gotta get Chris to get Black Widow so we can just do it. Like, if we played once, we would get it. I think the co-op one is revive an ally.
Yeah.
Or it would just be like, you die, I guess run over to you and revive you. Or I'm assuming it's.
Yeah, that's the same as in Centipede. They don't have that in Breakout because you can't die. You can't revive somebody. Like, the ball gets by you, you're done. But yeah, so yeah, I will get it at some point and
we'll get that achievement.
Try and play it.
I think that this series, again, I think it's just super fascinating to me. Like, the whole VCS thing and this series coming out of it is fascinating. I think that they should package these all together and sell it for $30 as, you know, Atari Recharged. Like,
yeah,
it's a cool. Again, it's not gonna be enough meat on the bones for most people buying one of these on their own. But if you're into, like, early arcade high score type games, they're awesome. They're really cool.
Yeah. Like, it hits me because, like, I like those types of games.
Yeah, so yeah.
I get, like, where somebody's like, hey, this is, like, way too simplistic and I don't like it.
It's $10, though. It's not like it's 20 or 30. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not outrageous. I think, a $5 price point would be, like, no-brainer. But
yeah, I spent more money on, like, bad burritos. So.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
That take less to eat, take less time to consume.
My problem now is, though, I bought this Black Widow one for $10, and now I want all.
You want all? What asteroids instead of you?
Yeah, I probably end up getting them all on Xbox, and then like be checking every week the eShop to see if they go on sale for like $3-4 or something. You know?
Yeah, I might have to add them to my wish list just for, like, you know, when I go on vacation to have like
perfect handle. Like, yeah. You know? Yeah.
You play anything else this week, Jeff?
There was something else. Oh no, we already discussed it—the Metroid Dread Rookie Mode.
You played Splinter Cell.
I played the last Splinter Cell game. It's the one I've talked about on the show before because it's the last one came out in 2014, I think. Splinter Cell Blacklist, and at the time I played it on Wii U, and I sung its praises. In the last week here, I had bought Chaos Theory at some point, and I went to go give that a try, and it just felt way too ancient.
Is that a PS2 game?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's the third one that was on Xbox. I think it was on PS2 as well. It's the one that a lot of people say is like the best of like the original trilogy there or whatever. But like, I just find that those old Splinter Cell games, like, they were cool at the time, but they were so unforgiving then and still unforgiving. And now it just feels archaic, some of it. Like, just, I don't know. I couldn't get into it. And I was like, oh yeah, I had bought Blacklist on sale at some point too on the Xbox. But, you know, I'd only ever played through it on Wii U. Let's go see how that one holds up, and that holds up fucking perfectly. I played through it again the same way I did on Wii U. I did the pacifist or whatever, like the, you know, non-lethal playthrough, and that is a lot of fun. You should try it, Chris. I know you're not like a huge stealth person, but they evolved this series to make it way more wide stream appeal with I think it was Conviction.
Yeah, I liked Conviction. Like that, yeah. That was like the one Splinter Cell game I liked.
But Blacklist, so Conviction definitely leans more towards a third-person shooter. And then this one kind of tries to walk the line between the two, like where it's like, it has, you know, it's the same engine and controls and everything as Conviction, but they like try to get you to play stealth more. And it works out well, though, because it's just there's just a dart gun you could use. So it's like, I'm like, I'm going to do non-lethal then, because it's kind of just a third-person shooter, but I'm just using non-lethal ammo. You know what I mean? And it makes it, and it does, you know, there's, I don't know. There are still things about those games where it's like, you don't want to alert everybody because you're kind of fucked. So you kind of, you have to be a little sneaky. You have to be a little creative. It's just different enough from like a standard, you know, shooter, And I don't know, but it's still super inviting. It's not like the original Splinter Cells. Like, I don't know. I think Blacklist is a super awesome game. I really loved playing through it again. I think I played through it all over the course of like 2 days. Like, I was just super into it. That's like all I was doing. Yeah, Blacklist is great. I think it's not on sale anymore. I don't know how much it goes for regular, but
I think it's $20 regular. But okay. It's Ubisoft games are on sale like every 3 weeks, so
yeah, exactly. Like, it'll be on sale again soon. It's a game I'd recommend to anybody. Like, I think it's a really fucking cool game. I think kind of underrated somehow. Like, it just doesn't feel like. Like, people still talk about Chaos Theory as the one. I'm like, dude, those games are hard to go back to. And this last one, I wish we got more like that one. But
Tony, did you play Conviction or Blacklist?
I played Conviction. I actually played all the way through Conviction. I did not make it all the way through Blacklist. For some reason, there was a spot in the game I got stuck at.
There is a hard level. There's a hard level. There was a level that was.
I really enjoyed Conviction. I thought that game was great.
I'm gonna play through that one again soon too, because that was on sale for $6 with the sale.
I have that one still. That I enjoyed that one a lot.
But yeah, like, Conviction is, again, at least as I understand it, Conviction is more the series moving towards just being a shooter, and Blacklist brought it a little bit back.
Okay. Yeah, that was probably why I like Conviction.
I really think you would. I'm telling you, play through Blacklist and play it how I was doing with guy doing Non-Lethal. You have to be a little bit creative, but it's not like there's no margin for error. You could screw up and run off and hide, and you know, the alarms go down after a minute. Like, it's fine.
Wait till they reset.
Yeah, yeah. It's nowhere near like the old games. Like, the old games made me think I don't like stealth, and then, you know, you had that Batman game came out, and I was like, oh, maybe stealth isn't so, you know, because there's a little bit of stealth in that, too.
Yep.
And then, like, the newer Splinter Cells, I was like, fuck, man, if you make stealth like this, it's fun, you know. But yeah.
Stealth shouldn't be punishing. It should be, there should be some risk-reward with it, but
yeah.
It shouldn't be, like, frustrating. Like, those original Splinter Cell games were, like, if you got caught, you were done. Yeah. You had to restart the level.
Yeah, and there's, you know, even little things like, yeah, like fair checkpointing and stuff could make that easier. And they figured it out with the Splinter Cell games, and then they stopped making them. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Cause
they're supposedly working on one now, so.
Yeah. Blacklist was good enough that I will check out whatever they do next with it.
Earl, you play Splinter Cell?
No, I do not like to sneak around.
Dare you. You would think, but I'm like telling me. You. That's the thing. I thought
Earl and I go way. Loud.
I thought I was the same way until I played the last two Splinter Cells, and I was like, you know what? This can be fun. You know,
it could be fun. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that if it's up to me, and I'm gonna play a game. Yeah. Again, like I said, this is why I like Musos. I'm gonna wreck 1,000 people as fast as I can, and not like two people while sneaking through a narrow hallway.
Like, theoretically, I think you could play Blacklist that way, but I just wouldn't want to because I don't think that would hold up. Like, if you played it as a third person shooter, I don't think it would hold up against.
Yeah, I think that's the part at which I got stuck, because there was a point where you couldn't sneak where you had to fight through, and I just. This combat's not awesome.
Yeah. It's made for, you know, kind of trying to be clever and trick them and stuff. It's not. It doesn't hold up to another action game.
Just give me the game where I can walk up behind somebody and kill them.
Yeah,
and
it's fun.
Hide their body in a trash can. That's all I want to do.
Good news, Tony. There's three of them.
I know, and I play them for free right now.
I think the way I play games might be why my friends won't play Ghost Recon with me anymore. they like to like set up and like, oh, tactics, not like wandering into the base.
You know, sometimes the best way to strategize is to think on your feet. What's the worst that can go wrong? Chris is going to trigger it. We'll figure it out.
It's like, why are the alarms going? Where are you? I'm in a hangar somewhere, guys.
Chris, you played a little bit of Halo with Eric, right?
Yeah.
He's so funny in that game because he's like, you know, if you just fucking use a little teamwork, we're going to win and shit. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I just want to, like, fucking... I don't want to listen to what you're saying. I want to run in and fucking do whatever the fuck. I want to be an idiot. Like, I mean, he's right. Like, I'm just a little bit of communication does help it. I don't want to be told what to do.
I will say, though, I guess on the polar opposite end, because the other game I've been playing Rainbow Six Extraction, and that is very much like you don't, because you don't want to get overwhelmed. A lot of that is us crouch walking and sneaking up on enemies to take them out. But it's more like my friends wanted to do recon and me just being like, tell me where to shoot and I will do that. I think they acknowledge I'm the better shooter on the team. And that if given the chance, once they tell me we can go out and we can actually take out weapons that are nonsense, I'm like, yes, shotgun time. But yes, I can do it. It's just it's not my preferred way to do it. Like, I'd rather, like, I forget what you call it, but, you know, like, create some noise and have them come to you so you can take them out in large swats instead of, like, playing their game. That's what they want you to do.
So Jeff and I recorded Recurring Nightmares last night. And we were talking about The Rock and, like, 90s action films and 2000 action films. You know, Jeff prefers, like, the more intimate, like, you know, hand-to-hand. Like,
I like post-Raid. I think the Raid changed action. And everyone's trying to do the Raid now, and that's awesome.
Whereas I am blow shit up, give me a fast car.
Yes. I am both, but if I had to pick, I'm more on Chris' side. I do I think one of the things, I love The Raid, and I like John Wick as well. I do think sometimes that, like, some of these fights nowadays are so choreographed that it looks like a dance. Like, I want people who are, like, throwing really, like, haymaker punches that, like, if they miss, they're gonna go, and, you know, like,
you know, I thought, you know what walked an interesting line with that is the movie Nobody, because that's kind of like how the violence is in it. It's very much haymaker punches, but you can tell it's influenced by
John Wick.
Yeah. But it was like a little more brutal, like, you know, people getting punched in the face and their teeth falling out type thing, you know, which I like that too. But I just think that it's just exciting to me, like, seeing, like, the martial arts that gets incorporated to movies now after The Raid, because it's like, you're just like, how did they, like, you're watching it, like, thinking it's going to end on a certain beat, and then it goes for another 30 seconds, and you're like, God, how do they do this? Like, it's just so, like, impressive to me. Like, it blows me away.
Oh, no, and I don't disagree with that. I am, but, like, give me the old-fashioned, again, like, I think, much like Chris, I grew up on those, like, 90s movies where it's like, it's balls to the walls and sick. Like, I mean, if you watch the 80s and 80s action movies, and, like, you can tell everybody's, like, hopped up on cocaine. Oh, man, wouldn't this be cool? Wouldn't this be cool? Like, we're going to jump this car off of this ramp, and it's going to trip three times. It's going to land on somebody. It's going to blow up. But the guy's going to jump out of the car and punch somebody on his way down. He's like, yes, we're going to go for it. I'm like, sure, you know what? If you make it work, go for it. I'm all for this. And I think that's something that action movies kind of miss now. A lot of them are, like, I don't want to say grounded, but they want to be more logical and, like, okay, like, he throws this punch, this person throws a counter punch, they're going to block a kick, they're going to, like, block a punch, then they're going to, like, trade it. Like, that's fine, that's great, but it doesn't give you that same adrenaline rush, I think.
Yeah, I want a cartoon wrestling match.
Yes.
I just think that, like, action keeps kind of getting better for my money. Like, you know, Die Hard will always be one of my favorite movies of all time, but if you watch that now, the actual action in it, it mostly has its strength based on situational things and character writing. Like, he's running across glass. And,
which is why it worked. Which is why it works for me. Which is why Die Hard remains the prototypical action movie for me. I think I've said it before. It's because a lot of it is him reacting to the situation and making the best of his surroundings. And I think, to your point, if you were to compare it to, like, John McCain would not be John McCain if you made Die Hard now. He would somehow be, like, you know, like, he's like, because he's just
a cop in there. It'd be like nobody. That's what I like about nobody. It's the same sort of character.
You're going to find out, like, John McCain has, like, some military backups background. And I get it. And again, I get that. But sometimes, like, I want – Like, anybody could be John McShane. I cannot be John Wick.
True, true, true. But I just think, objectively looking at the action, like, if you took the action of Die Hard and compared it to The Rock, I think the action in The Rock is more exciting. And I, for my money, you take the action in anything after The Raid, it's more exciting than The Rock. Like, I just, to me, it's been like a gradual progression. You know, there's different things, but like I was saying to Chris last night, I think that, like, you know, Chris likes the big explosions and stuff. I like the really impressive, like, fast martial arts. You look at something like Shang-Chi, the bus sequence combines them. You have the chase sequence going through the streets that's all crazy and over the top, and you have the really cool martial arts happening at the same time.
The one thing I will say about that is I agree with you to an extent, but I don't consider that a chase scene, because like you have the bus, but I feel like the bus is just an environment. It's an environment that's moving. It's not the same. Yeah.
The big kind of explosive thing happening.
Yes. And to your point, it is to me also the best action sequence in the movie. I think because you understand the space and you understand the characters, where I do think by the end of it, it gets to, and I think this is a problem with, this is my problem with modern action films, which I think is a lot to do with comic books. It's like there's no, like, not even the superpowers bits of it. It just feels like, oh, we're going to go big. And it's like, you just kind of get lost in, like, okay, we're going to have, like, three different points of views. We're going to cut back and forth between these people fighting on the dragon and these people fighting on the land, and then we got the sister over here, and I'm like,
Where am I? Where are we in this?
Yeah, like, The Raid, like, to your point, The Raid focuses on one character, and it's always one fight at a time, and that's different than, like, okay, we're going to have, like, okay, bad over there, and we're just going to cut it, because... And this, I said this about Transformers film. Transformers films on paper are a lot more exciting and adrenaline filled than a lot of action movies, but they're exhausting because they just go on and on and on. It takes
too long,
and you're just like, okay, I am just like tapped out mentally. Wrap this movie up.
Before we move on from this, have you seen? I think it's called The Night Comes for Us, Earl.
No, I've heard that. I don't think I've seen it yet.
It's on Netflix. If you like The Raid, it's. Similar,
yeah. I'd say better.
Oh yeah,
I'd say better than The Raid.
It's the same dude, right?
The actor, yeah, one of the actors is the same. It's not. It's the director that's gonna do the remake of Train to Busan. Did this, Timo Jajanto.
But I still don't think we need a remake of. But Americans don't read subtitles, so.
Yeah, and I trust Timo Jajanto to do something. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but I think
it's not so much like again like I
he's not American. He's Indonesian.
It's an American.
It's going to be an American, production. I think.
But. Yeah, because it's like the same way with what's his face.
He did that really weird bit in the new VHS, the robot one. You know what I'm talking about?
I've not seen a VHS.
Oh, 94. I thought you saw the new VHS.
No, I've not seen that because I've not heard great things about it, or maybe I was mistaken.
It's okay. I don't know.
It's good. I like that short in it. It was good.
Yeah.
Tony's just like, when this video game podcast goes.
Well,
I'm taking a nap.
Tony loves action.
Wake me up when this is over.
Well, I'll wake you up right now. Speaking of superheroes, and we'll end right after this. But while Earl was talking about superhero stuff, I've been poking at Guardians of the Galaxy, and that game dialogue story is great. Awesome. But that gameplay is so mediocre.
It's not good. Every time I cringe. Everybody's like, "This is better than Mass Effect." What are you smoking? What are you on? There's. It's not good.
It's a game carried by its story because, the gameplay itself is really... I guess it's different. It got that going for it. I mean, it's essentially an action RPG where you control one person, but... Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in love with that, the combat. Like, and then as you move on, like, they're introducing, you know, enemies with shields and... It just gets annoying.
Just give me more storytelling. Just make the combat easy and let me, like, hear the story. Because that part's cool. Give me that.
Yeah, because these fights go on. They go on too long. Like, they just drag out. Like, they're Transformers fights, Earl.
Yeah, and then you have to listen to them, like, talk with. And again, I think it works for a while, but I think it's kind of like the same beef I have with Nathan Drake. As much as it's like, at some point, I do want you to shut up.
Yeah, and I think they are nonstop.
Yes. And then again, I actually should get back to that game, because like then they give you these options, and as far as I could tell, it doesn't actually do anything for the story.
No, like I've been siding with Rocket all this time, and he still hates me. Like I've picked almost everything, aligned everything with him, and the little raccoon hates me.
All right, that makes me feel better about having Drax throw him over.
You threw him over the
I totally did. Like, if it didn't matter if he's gonna hate me anyway, fine.
Yeah, like I've been siding with him, like kind of like taking up for him, and he is like, now he's not even talking to me. It's like great. No, but I do enjoy the, I think the story is one of definitely one of the best ones from last year, so. But I'm so confused by people saying that they like that gameplay. Mass Effect's gameplay is generally good. Like you could say the first one was not great. I think they fixed it in the remake. But 2 and 3 play really well. This does not play as good as those games.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah. But we'll be back next week. When does Warhammer come out, Tony?
Thursday.
Okay, so you might have. Oh well, maybe not. We might not be back next week. We'll talk about that.
That's right.
Yeah. So
either way, I'll have played all the Recharge games as well as 18 other games by then.
Jeff will have something for you. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.